WRV Roseville, Sacramento, an iHeartRadio station.
Time for another exciting edition of Lick Us and Win.
Lick it up.
All right, Joe's going to do Friends of a Feather, meaning all animals or insects that fly, even flying squirrels and those sugar gliders we found out.
And flying fish.
And flying fish, yes. And I'm going to do planes, trains, and automobiles from the movie or the actual vehicles because we have California Capital Airshow tickets for September 21st, 2nd, and 3rd out at Mather Field. So, let's start. Let's get some good ones going. Patrick, I'm sorry, Richie. Richie, lick us and win. What do you got?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, Richie.
It's for Dog. Hey, Dog, I got a car question for you.
Okay, finally, the first time we focused on the automobile portion of the planes, trains, and automobiles.
I'm hoping we get a train win in here sometime, too.
All right, here's a good one for you. What specific engine and transmission came in a 1966 Mercury Comet GT Cyclone?
Jesus Christ.
My God. That's scary, just hearing the question.
What did they put in the Cyclone? What year did you say?
1966. It's the muscle car that they came out with to take on all the Dodges and everything.
Yeah. Oh, God. The Cyclone. You said it was 66?
66 Mercury Comet GT Cyclone.
I don't know why. I don't think it was a 420. I want to say they put a 390 in it. Am I right on the engine?
You got the engine, brother.
And what did you want? You want the transmission.
That made it. It was a 13-second car off of the showroom floor.
Yeah, and God, I don't know what kind of tranny they put in there. It would have had to have been a Tremec, though. It was Tremec built, correct?
Yes. You want the tranny?
Yeah, just give it to me because I don't remember what exactly was in there. I got the
three-speed manual transmission.
Oh, I thought you wanted like the okay.
You were gonna go more in depth.
No, I thought he had a code name or a nickname for it. I didn't know you wanted the okay. Hang on, I got half of it, so you'll get one ticket to the air show. Hold on.
you goof.
Let's go to Jim. Jim, lick us and win.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
Good. So my question is for Dog. What was the aircraft that the famed pilot Chuck Yeager became the first pilot to successfully break the speed of sound?
You want, like, the name of it?
Oh.
Yeah, the make and model.
Make and model. Man, I'm bad with this, and you're going to have a good time at the air show.
Wasn't that the Acme rocket?
No, you're talking about the Coyote propelled. And the Roadrunner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. It was rocket propelled.
I'm not going to get this. I know I should. I know I need to bone up on the history. I do not know.
It was the Bell X-1.
Bell X-1. Not very catchy of a name, but congratulations, Yeager. First man to do it.
Not even a very catchy looking plane. Just
I got
all
to
it was.
Meet Yeager for about 30 minutes, got to chat with him. He was a cool guy.
They say he is totally smart as a whip.
You met him. Man.
Yeah, I met him in Fresno at a function for the 9/11 victims and survivors, you know, all the firefighters.
And did Chuck Yeager, did he pass away?
Not that I know of. I think he's still
around. Around? Okay. Fair enough. Hang on. You'll get tickets to the air show. Let's go to Tone. Tony and Tone. Lick us and win.
Morning, guys. Good morning, Dana. I got a question for you, Joe.
Okay. Go ahead, brother.
Specifically, what is the only bird with a beak longer than its body?
Ooh. The beak longer than its body. Would that be a pelican? Would that be a stork?
Man, I like that pelican thing.
I want to... Oh, man, that's good. I'll go pelican. I can't think of a woman with a longer beak than that, really. That's a pretty big one.
All right. Unfortunately, that's incorrect, sir.
What is it?
The correct answer is the sword-beaked or sword-billed hummingbird.
Oh, my God, it's a tiny little one.
A sword-billed hummingbird, and the beak is longer than its body.
Yep, it's actually so big that it can't clean itself like normal birds can.
Oh, wow, well, because it can't bend its neck and pick the mites and all that stuff and fluff the feathers, and wow.
Wow. Huh. I've never heard of that bird before. Ooh.
Show me. Come on, quickly.
Dude.
This is
look
great.
At that thing.
This is great radio when they can't see the pictures. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
But I tell you what it looks like. It looks like a hummingbird with a gutter spike on the end of it.
Yeah, looks like he's got a needle hanging out of him. That's weird.
That is a, dude, cool question. I've never even heard of that bird before.
All right, very good. Hang on. Let's go to this one. Jeff. Jeff, look us and win.
This question is for both of you guys.
Oh, well.
Okay.
What was the name and the nickname of the airplane that Howard Hughes designed?
I know that.
Entirely of wood.
Yeah, well, how would this be for both of us?
Because it's a friend of the feather, and its nickname was a bird.
Well, yeah, but there was no ever goose made of wood that was made of spruce.
No, but Howard Hughes was a friend of the feather.
Yeah, spruce goose.
Yeah, that was it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And here's the thing to it, too. It really only took flight for about 200 yards in that lake that one time.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was all it ever did.
And let's go back to Howard Hughes, man, because, I mean, why aren't there more movies made about him and his collection of urine and all the jars that he urinated into?
You're talking about that Leo movie he did?
I never really saw that. And I want more movies about him, and I want him to really go into the weirdness of him, because they say that he quit shaving and he quit clipping his nails.
Fingernails.
And he quit washing, and they said that he would stack up like jar after jar after jar of his waste because he quit getting out of bed, and he would go and like he would pee in jars. Like, and a lot of old people do this. My grandpa did this when he got sick and he like broke a hip. He'd start peeing in like Folger cans and jars. It's really common for the elderly. They just roll over at night because they don't want
to
get
it back to the bedpan days and the old was that called the bedpan when they had the pot on the floor they went to the bathroom in?
Well, typically, yeah, that'd be a bed pot, but bedpans were just smaller.
Sure, they'd you put can them lay on top of them or whatever.
Yeah, you throw up in them or brush your teeth or whatever. But yeah, when people get old, they do that. I don't know what it is. It's weird, but they say that Howard Hughes had like jars. It looked like he had a jelly factory, but it was all filled.
Oh, come on.
No, they say stacked high.
Inside that hotel room he held up in?
Yeah, he held up in there, and he lived in there. And like,
they didn't show that in the movie with Leo.
No, I know, but they say that's a true story, that he would go in jars and he saved them. And I don't know what.
And he'd cap them off and collect them.
Yeah, he would go in them and he would just stack them. And they said when they went in there, it was just full of all these jars of Howard Hughes spruce goose.
What do you do with that? You got to open them up and dump them out, or do they just all go into the landfill like that?
Oh, God, no. I think what you do is you get the gloves on, and you put them on a dolly, or you put them somewhere, and then you just take them out and you dump them. You put them in a truck, and you just dump it.
I mean, damn him for that. Honestly, that's you rotten human being. You did a lot of great things with aviation. You're going to leave that? You rotten, rotten man.
And he stopped cutting his nails, and his hair was growing. He stopped washing.
Oh, he looked like Robinson Crusoe at the end.
And I don't even think that he was taking room service at the end. Like, no one could even get in to feed him. And I mean, he just shut down, and it just got weirder. That's what I want.
Agoraphobia? He became like a severe agoraphobic. He didn't want to go out in public.
No.
He didn't want to see nobody.
He wouldn't even, they say too, in the last days or whatever, he wouldn't open the blinds. He wouldn't do anything. He just laid there. And they said he wouldn't sleep.
Went to the bathroom in bottles.
Jars. Yeah.
God, that is awful. I wish I wouldn't know that.
I know. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, lick us and win.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, Kev.
All right. So, Dog, what are the four forces of flight?
Four forces of flight?
Oh, this is good, man. You guys got some good stuff.
Yeah, I know nothing about aviation, so I'm just going to take a stupid stab at this. I mean, I don't know if I've ever even heard this, retained it, or cared. Four forces of flight would have to be power or motion, loft, maneuverability, and landing. And I know the maneuverability doesn't really insinuate flying. And I know there's a more technical... It takes air underneath the plane to keep it buoyant and all that stuff. I don't know the technical what you're looking for.
You're kind of close on most of them. You just don't have the right names.
Yeah, I don't have the right names. I know I don't. What are they?
It's the lift, thrust, drag, and weight.
See, I was...
You're pretty close.
Yeah, I'm just... Yeah. Mine's more clinical.
You said
and
loft. I mean, that's lift.
Yeah, loft, lift.
Hey, that's pretty good. I've never heard of those either.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. You're going to have fun at the Capital Air Show. Hang on. We'll go to Jimmy. Jimmy, what do you got?
Hey, Dog, this is for you. First time caller.
Oh, Jimmy! Okay, Jimmy!
Welcome, brother.
Hey, all right on, guys. You guys are so cool. Hey, I got a question for you. That movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, when they were on the road at night and it was a lonely road just before the car spun and it fell apart, where was that scene taken?
Oh, you mean where was it filmed?
Yeah, where was it filmed, that one scene at night when they're on the road?
Oh,
the
God.
Car fell apart.
So
where was that?
Are you talking about in the movie or in actual where they filmed it?
Actual where they filmed it.
Oh, God, I have no idea. Just for sake of being on here, I'll just say it took place somewhere here in Northern California.
Almost in Central California between Hanford and Lemoore on the 198.
Oh, 198, that's okay.
Steve Perry country, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so it was in California, okay. I figured the way you asked that it had to have taken place somewhere around here.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I had no idea. I'd never heard that.
That's cool.
Hang on, we'll get you in. You'll go to the California Capital Air Show. Mark, look us and win.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing this morning?
Doing good, Mark.
My question's for Joe.
Go ahead, bro.
All right, there are nearly how many known species of bees in 7 recognized biological families?
Okay, well, first off, and I hate to ride on Joe's coattails, but first off, you have my knees. Those are the bee's knees.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. And then you could do the other 6, Joe, or 7.
There is no way I would be able to get the 7 species of bees. I'm guessing honey, bumble, wasp, yellow jacket. I don't.
Well, those aren't bees. Hang on. You got the African, the colonized or Africanized bees, the killer bees.
You got a honey bee.
You got a honey bee.
You got a bumblebee.
You got to throw this in there for the Mopar fans. Super bee.
That's a car.
Yeah. You got bumble.
You got Aunt B. She was on.
Did we forget about Aunt B?
Yeah.
Yes.
Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, look where we live. Sacramento B, the newspaper. I mean, hell, we've got to get close.
What are they, man?
Okay, there are nearly 20,000 known species of bees.
Seriously, in
7 recognized biological families. They are found on every continent except Antarctica.
Okay, give them to us.
The 7 are honeybees, bumblebees, stingless bees, those are just some of them to name off.
Okay, keep going. We want the other 3.
Let me ask you, is one of them meat? Meat bees?
One of them is meat.
Told you. Meat bees.
Joe's always talked about the meat bees. Keep going.
So you got the meat, you got the honey, you got the bumble, you got the stingless bees.
That's probably a sweat bee.
I mean, they gave, like, just a few to go off.
Yeah,
so sweat bees out here growing up? You know what that is?
No.
It's a tiny little thing. It's about as big as a fly, and it's a bee.
Yeah.
And you only land on you when you sweat. We had them in the Midwest, and when you would smack them, they would sting you. But they didn't have a stinger in them.
That's stupid.
It's called a sweat bee. I promise you, it's real.
So, but here's the thing. You want Joe to name the 7 bees, but you can't. So I kind of have to call horse poop on this, because if he can't name him and you can't name him, how do you know there's actually 7?
Yeah, he's making a solid point here.
Well, no, like, my question was pretty much how many, like, total known species of bees.
Oh, like, I thought you wanted him to name all 7 of the groups.
No.
Okay, I got you. Hang on, this is not fun.
Well, I was curious.
Let's go to Joe. Joe, lick us and win.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How you doing, man?
Doing good. Hey, had a great time out at Rockland Harley Saturday. Unfortunately, I didn't win. Amy did.
Oh, good to see you out there, man. Yeah, yeah. Amy going to pick the bike up, we think, this week sometime.
Yep.
Lick us and win.
Good for her. So, as for Doc, the guy mentioned the Spruce Goose earlier. Do you know where it's currently on display? The name of the town?
It's got to be here in California, right? Am I at least accurate with the state?
No.
Okay, then I would have no doubt.
It's on the
no.
West Coast. It is on the West Coast.
I would have got California, too. I thought that's where he was from. Well, he's
saying West Coast, so I'm trying to think. Okay. Could it possibly be up at somewhere near Tacoma, Washington? Up there somewhere near up at the Boeing plant? Could it be up in that area?
It's getting warmer, but you are on the radio in this particular city for quite a few years.
No way. It's in Portland?
None. Well, it's a little bit southwest of Portland. Do you want me to go ahead and tell you?
Well, yeah, we've hit everything else up and around it, so let's just get to it.
It's a little teeny tiny town called McMinnville, Oregon.
McMinnville? No way.
Why there?
The Spruce Goose
is... There's actually an air museum there, and if I'm not mistaken on the name, it's called Evergreen Air Museum.
And it's in McMinnville, Oregon, which I've driven through as fast as my car would go multiple times on I-5 and going through that way. And, yeah, you see the signs. Really, the Spruce Goose is in McMinnville.
Actually, yeah, there's a highway, and I don't know the number of the highway you drive through, and you can actually see it from the road. It's set back off the road a couple hundred yards, but you can see it in a big glass building on display.
Man, if it's a small town, it's probably as big as a town. That thing's wings were huge.
Yeah, I had no idea. Okay, fair enough. It is on the West Coast. Hang on, we'll get you in. You'll probably have a good time. Let's do one more. Sam, look us in the wing. Give us a good one. Close us out.
What's up, guys?
Hi, Sam.
Hey, this is for Dog. I'm a car guy.
Okay.
All right, so, Dog, what's the oldest running car as of 2011?
Oldest running car as of 2011. Now, what do you mean? By mileage, meaning it's still on the road from its production date, or they gassed it up and they continue to gas it up and it never, ever dies or stops idling? What is the question?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Well, I'm trying to figure this out.
Well, as of its production date, it's still running as of this day, as of 2011.
Okay, so it's still on the road and drivable.
Yes.
Oh, man. Is it a domestic? Is it an American car?
It's a domestic, actually. Bummer, huh?
Well, why would that be a bummer? You idiot. That's not a bummer. That's a great thing. I just didn't know if it was some older, European or...
So
my bad. I got it confused. It's from overseas. That's why it's a bummer.
Oh, it's an import.
Oh, okay. So is it an Asian import or a Euro import?
Euro. Ugh.
So this vehicle is the... What you're saying here is you can still buy one today.
No, you cannot still buy one.
No. This model is not being produced anymore, but this car is, according to whatever he read, still drivable. It still runs in its original condition.
Oh, okay. All right. What was the first car? I bet it's that.
It's got to be something from the Daimler Group. It's got to be a Mercedes. It's got to be a Mercedes. It's got to be a... Oh, God. I have no idea where to go with this. God. It's got to be an old Mercedes. It could possibly be an old production Audi. Could it be?
I can tell you something that we have not even heard.
Oh, it's a company. Well, then that's just a stupid question, then. Just give it to me.
All right, Doug. It's a La Marquise. It was built by, I believe, a guy named Dion Bertin.
Okay, is this a French manufacturer?
Yes.
Okay, well, I've never heard of it, and...
probably never even seen one on the road.
Yeah. Okay, we'll stop right there. Sadly, one more round of Lickus and Win coming up. We'll do it.
That's fantastic.
Here's the bad company. It is the river.